He watches over me day. following him by day or night. He's my friend. Jesus is all the world to me, and I want no better friend. I trust him now, I'll trust him when life's fleeting days shall end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Beautiful life with such a friend. Beautiful life that has no end. Eternal life, eternal joy.
Of the birth of Jesus, the Advent story, he mentions a name there. In chapter 2, verse 25, he says, "Now there was a man in Jerusalem called Simeon, who was righteous and devout. He was waiting for the consolation of Israel, and the Holy Spirit was upon him." That's all the description that the scripture gives us about Simeon. We have no idea who he was, perhaps just one of the churchgoers. Whoever he was, Simeon has been waiting for a very long and long time. And we will leave him waiting for a few more minutes. Well, I would like to ask you a question. When do you open your presents? Christmas Eve or Christmas morning? Since you are so shy, those of you who open your Christmas gifts on Christmas Eve, raise your hands. All right. Well, those of you who are blessed with incredible patience to open your gifts on Christmas morning, raise your hands. We are outnumbered. Now, those of you who are so patient, why is that? That you are waiting till Christmas morning to open your Christmas gifts? Is it just more special that way? Is it a tradition? Is it because you are focusing on the birth of Christ and worship on Christmas Eve and patiently waiting for Christmas morning to open your presents? Is it because of the wise men that they had to wait to get their breakfast before they opened their gifts? Regardless of when you open your Christmas presents, whether you are in Christmas Eve impatient group or Christmas morning correct group, let me ask you another question. What if I told you that we decided to make a different tradition? We're going to open our presents whenever we like it, whenever we feel it like it. Whether it is late November when those of you, I'm not in that category, diligent enough to find and prepare presents ahead of time, or late December, or maybe some of you who buy Christmas gifts for next year after Christmas sale. So we'll just share the gifts whenever we feel like it. Whenever we get it, we just buy the gift for someone special. We'll hand them the gift and say, here, this is your gift, just open it. Would that be all right? Would that be acceptable? What's the difference? It's just a gift. For some reason, it just doesn't feel right. Now, if we are not supposed to open Christmas gifts too early, should we be just as careful to open all kinds of other gifts that God blessed us with? There is a very important biblical principle, the spiritual discipline of waiting. And it can be applied to many areas in life. Waiting, delaying action until the right time. Now, waiting is not a procrastination. Some of us here might feel that we have a spiritual gift of procrastinating. I can assure, as an experienced procrastinator, procrastination is neither spiritual nor a gift. We are procrastinating when we don't want to do something. But quite often, we are impatient. When we have to wait, that means that we want it right now. But just because we want it now doesn't mean that it is right. And waiting is not even a reality. It is our emotional response to the reality. And just because we are waiting, it doesn't mean that something is not happening over there at that time. I remember as a child waiting for our parents to come home. Every Sunday, my mother and father would go canvassing through the villages all day long. And during the day, it wasn't that bad because we would occupy ourselves with all kinds of mischievous activities. But when the day was over, and it was getting late and dark, and they were not still home, we would become worried. And we'd get to the window with our faces pressed against the glass, looking for any indication, any sign of their coming. We were so afraid, so concerned that they would not come back home. But just because we were anxiously waiting didn't mean that they were not coming home. They were on their way to be there just in time when we needed them. In our not only holy, but very honest scriptures, we find all kinds of stories where people had to practice the spiritual principle or discipline of waiting. A married couple that gave up on their dream to have children finally gets the news that they will have a child. Suddenly, they get impatient. They've been told to simply wait for this event, but they take things in their own hands. They don't like waiting. The husband takes another wife, has a child, son named Ishmael. And the result, we can all experience 4,000 of family strife between the descendants of Ishmael and Isaac, Arabs and Jews. A gifted but impatient leader, eager to get on with things. He knows what he should do. He knows what happens next. And he's been told to wait for the prophet to come and do things in a certain way. But he gets impatient, takes things in his own hands, does it in his own way. He's not waiting for Samuel, the prophet, to come. He rushes ahead and he loses everything. And today, instead of singing a song, Hosanna to the son of Saul, we're singing Hosanna to the son of David. Well, the young, promising shepherd boy who replaces Saul, he does wait patiently early in his life. This may be more than anything else makes him a man after God's own heart. He's content with just let things happen. A prophet comes and pours oil over his head, anointing him as a king while he is still young. Feels kind of awkward being a king without a kingdom. But he learned to wait. Patiently waiting, being content with what he just has in front of him, and try not to rush things. At one point, the shepherd even writes these words, "Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give the desires of your heart." We often strive to figure out things we don't understand. We don't think that we know the will of God for us. However, if we think about it carefully, we know God's will 99%. What he expects from us in our relationship with him and with how we should treat other people around us. It's that 1%, the other 1% that bothers us. We want to know exactly what it is. Yet, instead, we should focus on time, our time and energy on what we do understand and what is right in front of us. Our job is simply to plant our gardens wherever God has planted us. And as a young man, David seems to understand that, but when he becomes powerful, something changes. Like many other powerful people, he takes an attitude, I will have what I want when I want it. And because he's so powerful, he has power to speed up the processes that sometimes are not healthy for him. And the result, he destroys other people's families. He neglects his own family, and his children become a total mess. All because of a gentle boy, David's conversion into the restless, I want it when I want it, king of Israel. There's another story in Isaiah. A young leader, Ahaz, king of Judah, feels overwhelmed with stress and loneliness, tempted into entering into wrong relationships with wrong people. But God, in his wisdom, warns him through prophet Isaiah, telling him, be careful, keep calm, and don't be afraid. Do not lose heart. If you do not stand firm in your faith, you will not stand at all. But Ahaz refuses to wait and misses out not only on the immediate presence of God and his guidance and protection, but also on the future gift that God had planned for him. Emmanuel, God with us. You can read the rest of the story in Isaiah 6 and 7. When we refuse to practice spiritual discipline of simply waiting, not rushing things, we can get in all kinds of troubles. Sometimes not having a relationship at all might be better than having a wrong one or the bad one. I'm sure we have many people here who wish they had waited and never rushed into unhealthy relationships, whether it is a friendship or dating relationship or unhealthy marriages. When we invite that unhealthy relationship, we set ourselves on a dangerous path. Choices that we make in life, especially early in our lives, have long-lasting consequences. We have power to destroy somebody's lives as well as our own. Those of you who are blessed with healthy relationships will agree with me. We can't even imagine, what if we didn't wait long enough? What if we hadn't waited patiently and settled for just anything that came our way? I encourage especially young people. Yes, people can change. But usually what you see is what you get. Watch closely. Choose carefully. Another area we must learn to wait is opportunities. We should be careful what we get ourselves into. When it comes to our line of work or study or even retirement, we should be as careful and comfortable with what we choose to do as who we choose to live with. Some of us had learned it the hard way, striving for something that we may naturally not suit it for. If God gifted us in a certain way, we should wait for the right opportunity that is in line with our gifts, rather than forcing the wrong opportunities. But all these illustrations I'm using to bring us to the main issue that is so relevant to us as Christians in our spiritual journey, and it is waiting for Jesus. This time of the year, it is so easy for us to view Jesus as many people view Santa Claus, worshiping him only for what he gives us. We should not look at him through the lenses of our circumstances, praising God only when something materially good comes our way. Israel was waiting for the material Messiah who would give them gifts and deliver them from the material enemy. But this was not the Messiah that Jesus was. He didn't come to rescue people from other people. He came to save people from their sins. And this is what the heart of our old friend Simeon was open to as he stood in the temple courts year after year, waiting and waiting for the promised deliverer. As Simeon stood waiting, he didn't know what we know today, what happened in the previous chapters or previous verses. We have an advantage today and the privilege to read the whole story before and after. But he didn't know about the young pregnant couple heading south just past Jerusalem to Bethlehem. He didn't know about the angels filling up the skies with light. Simeon didn't know that the young married couple was about to turn on the temple road and about to come up the temple steps. He didn't know that all of this was happening, yet Simeon just knew that he was waiting, and when the right moment came, he was ready. Verse 26 says, it had been revealed to him by the Holy Spirit that he would not die before he had seen the Lord's Christ. Moved by the Spirit, he went into the temple courts. When the parents brought in the child, Jesus, to do for him what the custom of the law required, Simeon took him in his arms and praised God, saying, Sovereign Lord, as you have promised, you now dismiss your servant in peace. For my eyes have seen your salvation, which you have prepared in the sight of all people, a light for the revelation to the Gentiles and for glory to your people Israel. And as father and mother were amazed at the things that have been said about him, Jesus, Simeon blessed them and said to the mother, Behold, this child is appointed for the fall and rise of many in Israel, and a sign to the opposed, so that the thoughts of many hearts will be revealed, and a sword will pierce even your own soul too. This child is able and capable of putting us on our, falling on our knees, and rise once again. It will pierce our souls too. Since we don't know who Simeon is, we have to assume that he was just like any one of us sitting here in this place of worship today. A simple traveler whose heart was open to spiritual things. Are we that kind of people? With our eyes and hearts open, not to just Christ in history, but a personal Christ who is here right now. The Desire of Ages says spiritual things are spiritually discerned. In order to discern through the eyes of the Spirit, we need to stop discerning through the eyes of our flesh. Simeon was not the only one who had practiced the spiritual discipline of waiting. There was another one, a woman ordained by God for this heaven-sent moment. Verse 36 says, there was also a prophetess Anna, the daughter of Phanuel. She was advanced in years and lived with her husband for 7 years after her marriage. And then as a widow, at the age of 84, she never left the temple, serving, worshiping night and day with fasting and prayer. At that very moment, she came up and began giving thanks to God and continued to speak of him to all of those who were looking for the redemption of Jerusalem. Two people in church, a man and a woman. No doubt that there are men and women here this morning, today, who have been waiting for a very, very long time for something special to come or to happen in your life. Waiting for that right godly person. Waiting for that right godly opportunity. Waiting for Jesus to show up in your heart, in your life, and reveal himself. Remember that waiting is not the reality. However, it is our emotional response to reality. And the event that we are waiting for might be just around the corner, closer to us than we can imagine. Don't give up now. Don't compromise. Don't try to force things that you know that you are not supposed to force. Be faithful to what God has put in front of you right now. Trust in the Lord and do good. Dwell in the land and enjoy safe pasture. Delight yourself in the Lord and he will give you the desires of your heart. And while waiting, let us occupy ourselves by doing good, by making a difference in other people's lives, in the world around us, at the same time sharing the good news to prepare the world that has been waiting for such a long time for the coming of our Savior and Deliverer, Jesus Christ.